Since the dawn of time, mankind has searched for ways to shelter themselves from the elements. Over the centuries, these shelters have evolved from bamboo huts to concrete towers. The last few years, there's been a push to save the planet. Are you ready to embark on a more sustainable lifestyle? Look no further. You're about to enter the adventures of container home living. And now, contractor, radio and TV personality, and your host for Boxcar Universe, Steve DuBell.
Hi, I'm Steve DuBell, host of Boxcar Universe, and here's what's coming up on this week's edition of Boxcar Universe. Today, we've got a powerhouse lineup. Joining us is Gail Kingsbury from United Tiny Homes, a visionary who's redefining how we think about space, efficiency, and modern living. Alongside her, Kevin Folkelson from Cornerstone Design and Legacy Custom Homes AZ is bringing serious expertise in high-end design, custom builds, and turning dream homes into reality. From compact innovation to full-scale luxury, we're covering it all today, so stick around. All that and more on this week's edition of Boxcar Universe, your home for container sustainable lifestyle living. And we'd like to welcome all of you to the show this week. We've got a lot of different things that we want to get to. We're diving into a full spectrum of modern home building, from compact efficiency living to fully custom dream homes. With Gail Kingsbury from United Tiny Homes, we're going to be talking with her about the tiny home movement, how people are downsizing without sacrificing lifestyle and affordability, that factor, and also turnkey tiny homes can be delivered in as little as just a few short months. And as I saw on Gail's website, it is 120 days, so it is possible. So we'll get into all that customization, financing options, and why more people are turning to this as a smart investment of a housing solution. And with Kevin, we're going to be shifting gears into high-end design, custom home building, which I am involved with him. What is really taking a vision, he takes a vision to life, how to manage budgets, expectations, and the difference between building a house but also building it the right way. So go tiny, go large, to luxury living done right. We're going to be covering it all today. And I want to welcome first up on the show today, Gail Kingsbury from United Tiny Homes. Gail, welcome to Boxcar Universe again. Great to have you back on the show.
Thanks so much. I love being here.
Oh, it's so good to have you back on here. And God knows you've got a lot of things going on in your world. I know that. But tell our listeners a little bit about, give us a little bit of background about you and the company before we get into some of the meat and potatoes of United Tiny Homes.
Okay, well, at the end of this month, we're going to be 5 years old. So, we started United Tiny Homes right in the middle of COVID, and we're hitting our 5-year anniversary at the end of the month, which is sort of exciting. We went from having another company white label for us to building in a dirt lot. And now we're in a 68,000 square foot facility here in Goodyear, Arizona, and delivering nationwide.
I mean, it's amazing. When those are the kind of stories that you love to hear. It's like some of the inventors when they started in the garage and now they've got these multi-million dollar warehouses and businesses and stuff like that. And obviously, when you started it, did you ever think you were going to be filling the niche that you're filling now 5 years later?
Well, we didn't think we would be working with quite as many developers, but we always were going after that ADU market. We were a little ahead of the game back then. And, and municipalities were just starting at that point to say, okay, we're going to accept these as ADUs and starting to put in that ADUs are necessary everywhere. We were a little bit ahead of the game, and now we're full blast putting them in backyards everywhere, filling up parks, creating rental neighborhoods with developers, and helping some of these rural cities come back to life.
It's amazing. Like when we grew up, the only thing that you saw anything near that was mobile home parks.
Right.
Which was probably the forerunner to what we're doing today.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of mobile home parks that are manufactured, you know, home parks now that are switching over to tiny homes. We have one in California near San Jacinto that we've delivered four homes there, but they're taking a somewhat dilapidated and older RV mobile home park, small mobile homes, and they're just turning it into a tiny home community, which is pretty exciting.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a great kind of facelift, because I mean, obviously the tiny homes today look so much better than some of those mobile homes that people used to see dragging around and dropping on pads and stuff like that. So it tells the tale of where we've gone the last 50 some years.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. But so tell us a little bit about, okay, so the Forte, obviously you're doing a lot of residential stuff and community stuff. What about commercial applications?
We're, as a company, we're not doing a lot commercially other than residential for commercial. You know, we're working with a developer up in Camp Verde. We're putting 65 homes in. Those are, he's purchasing them all, and they're going to be rentals because there's no worker housing near Sedona. People can't afford to work there and live there at the same time. So he just decided to make a difference because he couldn't keep people in the jobs for his own company in Sedona. And that created a big issue for him. So he's like, oh, I'm just going to put a bunch of homes here and let them rent them.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big, well, yeah. Sedona, for all listeners out there, Sedona, Arizona is like what we like to call, North, or when we used to live back in New York, we used to call everything upstate. So Sedona's upstate from Phoenix. But yeah, it's very expensive to live up there. Not quite as bad as California, but it's still up there. So I can understand why he was doing that, because a lot of people, you can make a good salary depending on what the job you have up there. But if housing is over the top, then you kind of like, stuck in a rock and a hard place here.
Well, in Sedona, they actually made it legal to sleep in your car.
Really? Oh, don't broadcast that.
Yeah, they designated a couple of different parking lots, local parking lots, that it was legal for you to sleep there because there was nowhere for people to live. So,
oh, wow.
It's really cool for us to be able to, not only are we're building a home, we're building a business, but we're making a difference in people's lives. And that's really what keeps us going.
I think that, yeah, I remember, and over the last, I remember, I think it was it like 3 years ago when that tiny home village on the way up to Prescott opened, Whistle Stop,
yep.
I think that's still going. Because last time I went up there, there was tiny homes up there. There was a couple of smaller mobile homes, but there were several tiny homes up there.
Yeah, we have a few tiny homes in that park. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a nice park, and it's the great thing about that, it's close to Prescott. When a lot of people in Phoenix, for all our listeners out there, the one thing that we like to do during the summertime when it gets so hot down here, everybody wants to go north to the high to the higher elevations where it's cooler. Prescott is definitely one of the areas that it's probably not as expensive as Sedona, but Prescott's not cheap to live in either. But it has a really old, quaint type town. I really like it. There's a lot of great people up in Prescott, but Whistle Stop's right on the way up there, so you don't have to get into town to be able to experience everything that's up there. You can go bring your tiny home up there, and I think they have short term and long term leases up there. So you've got some great options going up there.
One of the things I didn't tell you about is that up in Page, Arizona, where Horseshoe Bend is, which is a big tourist place, there's a park up there. We started delivering cabins there for short-term rentals. And they were booked from, like, the second day we had the house there.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing that people just are having... I think that's the way that people are looking now. They're thinking small, and and more, everybody's got the word affordability.
Yep.
So, but that's something that people look at when they look at their budget. So that, I think that is just something way to go, not just here in Arizona, but all across the country. Lord knows they need a lot of that in California, because California is just way too expensive to live out there. I mean, people talk about that all the time. That's why I think a lot of people are leaving in droves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, now the other project you've got going on down is in Bisbee, Arizona.
Yes, yes. Bisbee's really exciting for us. We're actually doing a full development there and creating a neighborhood at the edge of town in Bisbee. They did a housing study. They had a company come in and do a complete housing study for the city, and because the city's dying. And the biggest thing that they found, the reason why, was for housing, because it's an old, for those people who don't know, Bisbee, Arizona is an old copper mining
town.
Yes,
yes.
And the mine shut down and the miners left, and there's 100-year-old dilapidated miner housing that they're now tearing down, but they have nowhere for people to live. And with the things that are happening with our borders, they've got more security, they've got border patrol. They have another mine that's opened up near there, but there's nowhere for anyone to live. So we're putting in a full neighborhood development with the city that we'll be putting 80 homes in. So there'll be some rentals and some land home packages for people. We've done a lot with the municipalities all over the country, actually, in changing some of their zoning and adding a few things to make it easy for people to be able to have these homes.
Yeah, I mean, again, you're filling a need that is sorely needed for people. I mean, they need to live. And looking at the way the population is moving around now, people are moving to areas that are more affordable. But yet, I think much like, well, here in different sections of Arizona, where there isn't enough housing going around. Though they've got to look at the infrastructure too, depending on where they're building these communities. Because in Arizona, I know with that big project that they've got going up north on I-17, that big chip plant, they've got to take into account, you know, where are you getting water? I mean, you could bring electricity over there, but you know, where are you getting the water from? Because water is such a precious commodity here in Arizona. So I'm sure that the right people, hopefully, are doing the right plans to build communities like that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're getting calls all the time. People, we want to build a tiny home community, or I want to put one in the backyard for my mom or my dad. Or
yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's exactly what they're talking about. And there are a bunch of different options out there, which we're going to take a short break, and when we get back on the other side, we're going to be talking with Gail a little more about the shift to tiny home living, the things that you need to know if you are looking for a tiny home. So I want everybody to hang tight. You're listening to Boxcar Universe. Looking to transform your space? With over 30 years of construction experience and featured on radio and TV, Ideal Home Improvement and Legacy Custom Homes AZ does it all. From repairs, remodeling, and restorations to new builds, container homes, and container pools, plus cutting-edge solar systems to help homeowners save money on their utility bills. Hi, I'm Steve DuBell. Let us help you design and build your dream home with the expertise that comes from decades of experience in the business. Call me today at 602-332-6203 or email me at steve@idealhomeimprovementaz.com to get started. Remember, Ideal Home Improvement and Legacy Custom Homes AZ, where your dream home becomes reality. Don't wait. Call today.
Stardust Building Supplies is your home improvement thrift store.
Find salvaged and gently used cabinetry, doors, windows, appliances, lighting, plumbing, and much more. Save money, be green, and support the community. Shop and donate at Star Building Supplies Valley locations. For more info, visit stardustbuilding.org.
And you're listening to Boxcar Universe, and we are speaking with Gail Kingsbury from United Tiny Homes. And one of the things we want to get into at the moment is the tiny home movement and the lifestyle shift, because I think we touched base a little bit on that in the first break. But, Gail, why do you find that people are choosing tiny homes maybe more now than several years ago?
Well, I think they're choosing them for a couple of reasons. One, there's a lot of people downsizing, you know, as some of the older generations are, they're just downsizing. They're looking at maybe travel. They're putting them into places where they can visit, like in Arizona, going up to Pine Top and putting a cabin up there without having to build a stick-built home that's going to take 2 years and tons of permits. And then affordability is driving tons. You can get a 25-year mortgage on a tiny home with as little as 5% down. Put them almost anywhere if you're working with the right builder.
Right.
And multi-generational housing is becoming more and more prevalent across the nation. So putting grandma in the backyard is a lot easier than putting her in the house.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's you know, true. Let's throw grandma in the backyard. Okay.
Yeah, better than the train.
Better than the train. How funny.
We have a family in California they were spending $7,500 a month for their mom to be in assisted living. We put a house in their backyard and her health improved. Everything. So they were able to have home health come and help with some of her medication. She had her own space. She wasn't worried about, was anybody even going to come and visit me? She's eating with the family, not wondering if she's going to get a ham and cheese sandwich for the third day in a row as a dinner, and then preserving the family's wealth.
Yes.
Those are the kind of stories that I think are making a big difference. And there's an entire culture that's moving away from big homes. Where you know, we at our age, like, I love having a 5-bedroom house because I had kids and people all the time. But all of the, you know, the younger generation, they don't want what their parents had. They just want something simple. They want simple living. They're outside. They're doing. They're going. And they're not, the materialistic part of things has gone away. And they're really just downsizing. That's what we see.
You know, and I think it's something is really good, too, because you could take a tiny home and, you know, I know several different people that, you know, got interested in tiny homes. And now a lot of them, they built tiny homes and they're traveling around the country with them. So
Right. There's
nothing saying that you can't have a 5-bedroom house. But also if you have a 5-bedroom house, you've probably got a big piece of property. So you've got room to park that tiny home on mm-hmm. your property and then take it anywhere you want.
Right.
You know, so, but our other guest is online with us, Kevin Fulkerson from Cornerstone Design and Legacy Custom Homes. And Kevin, do you have a big piece of property we could put a tiny home on along with a luxury house?
I got one we could probably put 10 or 20 a month. So, so yeah, you know, it's really, yeah. Well, we'll be getting together on stuff because we want to do some development work and got some areas laid out. But one of the concepts or, I guess, misconceptions that a lot of people has is, well, we'll just go buy one and put it in our backyard. And I caution people, you've got to know what the building codes are. You got to know what the building codes are and then work with the cities. Because most tiny homes, if you're going to put them in a standard area, you got to have a
Oops, we lost you.
I think we lost you.
Yep.
But while we're waiting for Kevin, he is right. They don't go in every backyard. You have to.
So in the Phoenix and surrounding area, a lot of them have put moratoriums on modular homes or mobile homes, and for the reason that they tend to get ratty and stuff. But there's going to a movement going to the smaller homes that are going to be a better quality, that type of thing. So I tell you, you got to know the rules. And the other misconception is, well, we'll just get one of those cargo containers and finish it out. Well, it's not that easy, because cargo containers, even though they stack them 10, 15 high, they're not structural when you go to do it for a living. So anytime you start cutting holes, you've got to have engineering on it. And then finishing out, people think, well, it's only, 300 square feet. It's got to be cheaper. Per square foot, it's actually more costly, because you're still doing a kitchen, you're still doing a bathroom, and you've got your minimum insulation and requirements. So it's sometimes it looks like, well, we put these containers on our property. There are areas. There's some up around Young, Arizona. There used to be some out west of Prescott that you can. There's basically you go get a permit and it just says one small home or whatever it is. There's no inspection. So it's a matter of knowing where you're going to put this. And then, like you said, working with the rules. So there are areas around here where we could go in and propose a development where they're going to put 10, 20, 50, 100, whatever it is. And when you do that, now the cities are interested, because you're providing affordable housing, because housing has gone up. And even though Arizona is still affordable in most people's eyes, for the common people, guys working at McDonald's or a gas station or whatever, where do you live unless you stack two or three families in a house? It's become a real challenge.
It is a real challenge. And you're right, because the permitting and the zoning have everything to do with whether or not you can or can't have a home. We've worked with a lot of municipalities to change the rules with them. They all want to be able to accept them. Some of them don't know how. So, wherever you're at in the country, wherever you might be listening to this, whether it's Arizona or Timbuktu, it's really important to work with a builder who knows what they're doing and have the builder speak to the city, not you. Because a lot of times we know the verbiage and what they're looking for, and we can help them before they tell you flat out no, because the wrong words are being used.
Right, and that's very important too, because when in the early stages of using getting tiny homes and container homes, the cities didn't know what to do when somebody presented them with a mm-hmm. plan with a container home. So, again, the verbiage had to change, as well as they got a little smarter because a lot more people were doing it. So then it became turn around, and the term was modular homes. Modular is a big gray area that covers a lot of different types of homes, and that's made life easier to them to get permit, to send them through the city and get permits.
Right.
But I think one of the biggest things, and Gail, I'm sure you've hit a lot of milestones with all the different municipalities you've spoken to, but I think one of the biggest things that breakthrough in this industry was the fact in here in Arizona, two or three, when the municipalities decided that they were going to allow secondary dwellings on the properties along with the mm-hmm. initial primary dwelling. And that opened up a whole new world for all of us that are in this industry.
Right.
I remember you were out at Westworld when I think within 2 months after that law was passed, because I saw the placard you had on the table that said, yeah, these municipalities are now allowing it. I mean, it was a pleasant surprise to see.
Yeah.
what?
It's been a lot of work.
Yes, it has been a lot of work, And Kevin, with some of the people that were down that submitted plans for container homes, like you said, it requires engineering. The reviewers didn't know what they were looking at, because it was like trying to figure out the value of a container home in a community where there are three regular homes and now you're building a container home, they had no comparables. So they couldn't put, they couldn't figure out what the value of it was. But I mean, you know.
Right. And I know that you may have come by, my phone dropped for a little bit, but on the tiny homes, correct me if I'm wrong, you have a license, you're manufacturing them. So your inspections happen actually at your facility. Is that correct?
Yes. So right now we have two different things going on here at the facility. We have our ANSI certification for the factory so they can have an RV tag or a park.
Right. Yeah.
But we've just worked with the state to get our factory building so that I can stop arguing with some of these other municipalities. Right. Same house.
And that, go ahead. Sorry.
That's it. Same house, different sticker. But all of the inspections for the home are done in the factory. So when we deliver it, it can just be connected to the utilities and you're done.
Right. And that was one of the issues with a lot of the container things is if you're doing your own, you got to go through a lot of hoops. But the guys that are building them in a factory, it's a lot less because you've got that stamp or seal, that certificate, right, whatever, the nameplate.
Right.
And then, so locally, if you do that, you're working with the jurisdiction, say it's in Phoenix, you're working with them for the foundation, but the state then controls the setting of it. So it's not real difficult, but if people don't know what they're doing, they can run into issues. And so I just warn people a lot of times, be careful of the guys that say, oh, we're just going to grab one of these, you know, these sheds that have a little front porch built in. We'll just build it out in your backyard.
Yeah.
And you might be, you know, building a very expensive, how do I say this? If you finish it out and then you get caught, you could be either tearing stuff out or getting rid of the whole thing. So,
yeah, there's a lot of fines involved in that. So
yes,
it's important wherever you're building that you work with a builder or find an installation company that knows what they're doing with the type of house that you're building, whether it's a container, whether it's a tiny home, if it's a tough shed that you want to put a bathroom in. Those are, you really have to work with somebody who knows how to do that permitting.
Knows what they're doing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to just get somebody who says, oh, we can do that. We get a lot of that around here. So
yeah.
I caution people. Go ahead. Sorry, go.
Oh, just don't buy one off the internet. Like,
what? Oh, geez.
The ones, yes.
We're doing a work on a big commercial project out here for design a hotel, which is the escape park. But the general contractor is a friend of mine. He looked online at buying one of these offices out of China just to use on site. That would have worked fine. But they actually placed the order and the company sent their deposit back and said, we quit shipping. What he found out was they didn't know if they could get it here because of piracy and so many things. So they actually found one in Cass Grand, came off a construction site and are using it for an office. But they show these things that for $25,000, you get one folded out and everything's involved and everything. And I said, if you buy that, you're making a big $25,000 mistake because you won't be able to put it anywhere unless you put it on a travel trailer type body. So,
well,
again,
really go ahead. We had one of those really cool capsules at the factory. Somebody bought it and they had it delivered here to see if they, you know, what they thought of it and stuff. And out in our yard one day we hear boom and went out there and the windows had blown out on that big patio where it looks so cool and all those.
Yeah.
Windows. You're kidding.
The glass couldn't take the heat. It wasn't.
I was going to say because of the heat.
Really. I mean, that had to be it.
And so it just blew out and we did have the state come over and they wanted to see it. They looked at it and they're like, just please tell us you're never going to try and put this anywhere because we won't permit it.
Oh yeah.
Ever.
Oh my God. Well,
definitely for people that are concerned, they're going to pick somebody reputable. And like Steve, when we do construction, even when we do the design part, I always tell people, look, there's guys out there that'll be cheap. And then there's also guys that'll be very expensive. It doesn't mean either one of them know exactly what they're doing. We run into people who say they're doing a regular house. And I've done these for over 30 years now in design. Well, they say we had to get a structural engineer. We're going, why? Well, they don't do structural. Well, basic structural, if you can't do that, to me, you have no business designing or building. But And then they make them get MP&E on the house, which isn't required. So I feel bad. So we're going to start doing videos to market this and go, look, if you really want a tiny home, talk to us first. But also, you brought up about going up at, Camp Verde?
Yeah.
I think so. There's other areas up there in Black Canyon City. There's a 200 unit. Now it's modular homes that they're putting up, not tiny, but it could have been modular homes. Every one of them is rental for the workers going into the big factory up there, the big chip plant.
Right.
There's three subdivisions up there of houses being built. None of them are for sale. The plant built those for the workers they're bringing in because they have no housing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a huge market. So we're going to be looking at that with you and stuff because you've got the plans and we can get the development and all that work done. And it just makes it go a lot easier when you have people know what they're doing from the development all the way up to getting the home set and ready to go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. Because I mean, how many businesses have we seen or developers have we seen to try and do certain things in certain areas, you know, and they put up the construction fences and the big signs and, you know, we expect things to, you know, start growing out of the ground here in a couple of months. And then all of a sudden you never see anything happen because something happened to the developers or, you know, something they found out that is going to prevent them from building what they want because of a city code or something like that. And it was an oversight when they first decided to commit to the property. So these things are important that you cross all your T's and dot all your I's to make sure that once you venture into this and you put a large amount of money down that, you know, it's going to be, something's going to be done with it. It's not going to just go down a black hole. So
that's where people need to vet their contractors. Steve, that one we were kind of involved in up in Williams and probably never came to fruition.
Yeah.
Died doing the containers. He'd never done it before, but he was raising money and he got a commitment. And we got doing the plans and stuff. And I don't think anything ever happened with it just because the guy didn't know what he was doing. And that's you see people come out of the woodwork and they think they know, or they watch some YouTube stuff or go on to AI. That doesn't always mean somebody knows what's going on. So
no,
it's just a real area to be very careful.
Yeah. And it was funny too, because, you know, I went up there the day that they were going up there and I had gotten, somebody to do grading, to grade the property in lieu of getting, you know, getting ready to do pads for the containers and stuff. And then when all that went south, you know, I still had the neighbor's phone number because I made sure I took the neighbor's phone number in case I ever needed them for anything or, you know, just to have a watchful eye next door. And I called them one day and I found them like, did they ever build your container home, your neighbor? Yeah. And they said it never, ever happened. So the only thing that ever happened there was the grading got done. So, you know, it's amazing that people don't do their due diligence, even people that claim that they're doing well, and it just doesn't happen. But we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the process of getting a tiny home from Gail and a little bit more about customization and some other design tips from Kevin. So I want everybody to hang tight. You're listening to Boxcar Universe.
Hi, I'm Erica Thompson, the dominating designer, a hardworking artist with a sense of humor. What is the dominating designer process? It's just like what you see on TV. We discuss your wants and needs about your project, go over your ideas, then I provide you creative one-of-a-kind options that fit your budget with respect to your home's value. When we finish your project, you are set to enjoy your new space. I would love to help you with your upcoming project. Please reach out to me on Instagram, the dominating designer.
Hi, I'm Sean with Mr. Electric, and I have a tip to help make your life better. One important reminder is to call a qualified electrician when you have frequent problems with blowing fuses or tripping circuit breakers. And when a circuit breaker trips or a fuse blows, it's indicating that you have a problem with some other part of the circuit. If your breaker trips more than once, you should have a qualified electrician come out and take a look at it. Contrary to what may be acceptable, you really shouldn't try to continuously try to reset the breaker, because there may be a problem somewhere else down the circuit and you could be causing a fire hazard. There could be a loose connection or some other form of problem on the circuit, and every time you reset the circuit breaker, it could be causing a spark at the other end. We recommend having a qualified electrician come out and check on the condition of the circuit and make sure that the circuit does not have any problems. And it could just be a bad breaker also, but you definitely want to have a qualified electrician check that out. To have someone come out from our team may only take a portion of a day, but it could potentially save you a lot of money or your life. And that's just another way Mr. Electric has the power to make your life better.
Cover the future of sustainable lifestyle living with Boxcar Universe, your go-to source for cutting-edge container home and container pool information. Want a dream container home or pool? We can build it for you. Hi, I'm Steve Dubell from Boxcar Universe. For the latest in container innovation and expert insights, tune into our weekly podcast, Boxcar Universe. Ready to start your project? Call us today at 602-332-6203 or email us at steve@boxcaruniverse.com. Remember, Boxcar Universe, where your container dreams come to life. Listen, learn, and build with us. We are back, and you're listening to Boxcar Universe, and we are here today with Gail Kingsbury and Kevin Fulkerson, and we were talking tiny homes, luxury homes, and everything in between, and what it could take. And you could have both. Gail, how does some of the products and stuff that you have in the tiny homes are, we'll say, green friendly?
We do actually a lot of green friendly. We've got different materials that we can use. We even have a really cool cork product to use as siding. Looks like stucco, but it's made out of cork, AAA fire rated, completely green, no off gassing. It's a really cool product.
That's not with Randy, is it?
Yes,
I know Randy.
That's a good product. I like that.
I know Randy very well. And thank you, Gail, for introducing me to Randy. You know, we went out and videotaped a couple of commercial projects where he put cork on, and he actually did his daughter's home over in Scottsdale. I went to look at, and it was just it's just amazing. It gives it a whole different look. And Kevin, it looks, besides looking like, yeah, it's cork, but it almost looks like a sand stucco finish when it's done.
Yeah, we looked at one up the home show up at, I think it was Westworld in Scottsdale, that we met him up there.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Gail, are you going to be at the home show week after next, like the third, whatever?
No, they're here? No.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I think that's at Westworld, I think.
Yeah, but they're not having tiny homes at that one.
No, oh, they're not?
No.
What's wrong with them?
Yeah, I mean, what is wrong with them?
They feature us once or twice a year, but I don't think they're doing a feature this time. And so we won't be at this one.
Okay. Sorry, well, we'll be on the lookout for it, because obviously that is a big thing. I mean, I know in the January show you had a really great presence over in the tiny home community, and associate kind of built different kind of alternative building homes in that area. But let's talk about design and exactly what people come looking for a tiny home. What's a consultation look like? How do you decide on like what model might be best for them? Because you've got several to choose from.
We do have several to choose from. It really depends on what they're using it for. Is it a vacation home? Is it, you know, what are they really looking for? The thing about our homes that are different than some are that we say go tiny, live large, right? Everything in our homes are all full-size appliances, full-size. Well, it says tiny home. The first thing you say when you walk into one of ours is, oh, I could live in this.
Well, that's the main idea.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, the bathroom's not so small that when you're sitting on the potty, your knees are in the shower.
Oh, yeah, that could be a problem.
You know, they're not an RV in the typical sense. And they're, but we really, you know, we talk to people, it's like, okay, which, they come in and they may say, well, I want this. And then we talk about what their lifestyle is. It's like, well, you may want to have this instead. Maybe you want something smaller because you don't need the loft. Your knees don't work and you're never going to get up there and you don't have grandkids to crawl up there. So why don't we look at what is going to be, you know, make you the happiest in your lifestyle.
Yeah. Lofts are cool. But like you say, you have to think about that. Or is the person that's going to be living there going to be physically able to get up there?
Right. Yeah. All of our homes have a downstairs bedroom. They all have a ground floor bedroom.
And the other thing that we talked about during the break was handicap accessibility, mm-hmm. and making sure, obviously, that the height of the tiny home is acceptable for the people that are going to be living there, or do they need a ramp? You had mentioned that the door is ADA compliant, so somebody could get in through the door with a wheelchair.
Right. We include 36-inch doors so that walkers and wheelchairs can get through. If they need a home to be wheelchair, you know, accessible, we can lower cabinets, make your sinks so that you can roll under them instead of having them solid.
And that's a big plus.
Yeah, yes. And we put in roll-in showers as well as change out the threshold in the front door, which are little things that people don't really think about, but you know, when you're coming in and out of the door, if you don't have a wheelchair, you know, an ADA threshold in the door, it makes it hard because it's a real pain in the butt to get things over.
Yeah, unless you've had somebody helping you get up and over, and that could be that doesn't always happen 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So that's important. Kevin, do you find the homes that you're designing and stuff like that, do you get a lot of people that are that make mention that there, besides the homeless?
There are people. We're doing one now that's not the one we're building, but I've got one in design that all the interior doors except for closets and guest bathrooms are all 3 foot into the bedrooms, everything. And they just wanted that. So that's becoming more and more common. And you don't have to have that. You can do an offset hinge door, which on the 2.6 will fold back and you get almost as much room as a 3 foot. But there's a lot of options out there that people are considering now. And you got people that they're not retiring at, you know, 60, 55 and 60 anymore. They're working well into their 70s and 80s.
Right.
And I've got people that are, you know, they're going, well, everybody said, why are you building this big home? And my thing for me is when I get ready to build one here pretty soon for myself is just because I want to. What does it matter? It's amazing to me how many old people just say old thing. And you know, just it's, I don't know. It bugs me because I'm not just going to go. I don't play golf and I'm not a sports nut. I don't like the beaches. I like what I do. I like the work. I like helping people. So why would I give up? Oh, it's so big. Well, hire a housekeeper. I don't know. It bugs me. So, but yeah, I'm doing a lot now where people are older and they're, and maybe, you know, maybe your kids will want to come and stay with you for a while. They're not having to sleep on the floor, on the couch or whatever. So for me, it's what I want and I'm going to have what I want, even if it doesn't make sense to a lot of people.
Well, you know, if you can afford it, I mean, then yes, exactly. If you want it, then you can get it. I mean, there's no reason that you can't. Again, you know, I think that's why, you know, around the valley, you see a lot of different size properties, all different size homes, even some of the ones that they're building now. that are a little bit crammed tight. I mean, I know when I first bought my home in Arizona that, you know, it was, let's think about this for a minute. I think, Gail, you know, you
three
could...
Three bedroom, two bath?
You could crank out a tiny home in the amount of time it took them to build my very first home in Arizona, which was 1,200 square feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Took them about 45 days. And that was beyond belief. I'm like, you got to build a home in 45 days outside? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No problem. Yeah. And they did. They did. They just blow and go.
I've got a question. It seems to me, one thought I have, is that tiny homes are becoming almost now what park models used to be. And these mobile home parks or modular, whatever you call retirement areas.
Yeah.
But I think it's a better product too.
Well, I mean, there's different manufacturers, right? Guys, you know, you can still get a park model, and you can still get a park model for a lot less than you could buy one of our homes. Our home's going to have a park model sticker on it as well, but it's built to a residential code. And park models don't have to be built to a residential code. And the issue with a lot of the permitting, right, is that they'll put park models in parks, but you can't put a park model in a backyard because it's not built
to
code. And so the piece that we work with all these municipalities is changing the definition. And once they change the definition that it has all of these residential features that they want, then they're changing it.
Right. And to me, so it's almost some of these big retirement communities, they've got a clubhouse, they've got different activities and things, but you could do the same thing they're doing with park models with these.
Our houses right now, like we've got, you know, people looking at our homes, inspectors and stuff saying that our homes have like a 75-year lifespan. And you're not going to get that with a park model.
No. They last a while, but how do you do one? And we had a situation putting one in the backyard where there's no alley, and you may or may not have a side gate that's big enough. Can you crane them in?
Yeah.
Okay. I figured you had to have some option for that, because that does happen around here where it comes in. People have a house and nobody uses their garage anymore. They park out in the front driveway, fill the garage full of crap. Well, they want to close it in, but you can't get a building permit on a lot of houses, because if you don't have a 10-foot side setback and you don't have an alleyway, you can't provide code legal parking. Everybody says, so we'll just park in the front of our garage. It doesn't meet code in most places. You're building or you're parking in the building setback. So being able to crane one of these in is huge, because a lot of times they can't close in that garage now.
Yeah, we've craned plenty in.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing, that's the only way you can do it. I mean, even with, I've done that with spas. You can't get through the side gate with the thing on end. It just call your local crane company, and they will crane it over your house and put it on the pad that you've created for the spa. And it's the same thing for a tiny home.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got.
Yeah, real quick too. Can these be set up for natural gas?
Yes.
Like what, tankless water heaters and stuff?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Natural gas, propane, or all electric.
Perfect.
Good. Okay.
Go ahead, Steve. Sorry about that.
On the UnitedTinyHomes.com website, you've got, for all our listeners out there, I urge all of you to go on the website. There's a lot of different sizes and styles. I'm looking at a couple here, you know, 340 to 399 square feet, called the Cheyenne, the Drifter, 380 square feet. And then for all our luxury people out there who love, you know, Cadillacs, they have the Denali Extreme, the 400 square foot home. So, which is, you know, it's 10 feet by 40 feet long, which is pretty much just a smidge wider than a 40-foot container home. But that, and there's several other ones on there, the Gemini, the Sierra, and then the studio design, which is an interesting concept because, Gail, that might be the home for grandma. You never know. 300 square feet.
It is. Then a lot of those homes as backyard casitas for parents. And the Cheyenne's also a great one, too. And we've done some, you know, we also do custom work. So you've got a specific thing. But, you know, to what you were talking about, Kevin, with ADUs, you know, most municipalities are changing those setbacks. So if they're allowing you to put a guest house in your backyard, they're changing the setbacks and they're changing a lot of these parking things. Part of the problem is parking. That's a big problem. And that's why they're like in the city of Phoenix, you can have a guest house, but technically you're not allowed to have it as a Airbnb because they're
Airbnb is.
Yeah. You need another parking space.
One thing just real quick on this. So parking there right now, and it's probably going to change, ADUs do not require any additional parking.
Correct.
And at Phoenix, so I know in Mesa, I had a gentleman who had a house and he wanted to do an ADU. So I went in just to check with the building code people and he could have an attached ADU and a detached ADU and not have to have any additional parking. He was like, I don't know, half mile from ASU. So it was great. So a lot of places are doing that where the required parking comes in is the original house has to either have one or two, depending on when it was subdivided and all that. But parking is going to become an issue because so many people are getting upset that people have an ADU, they got a big house, and they got 5, 6, 8 cars there, but they're only required to have 2 parking spaces. So, it's something. It depends on the neighborhood you're in. If you're in an HOA, that's where you got to really watch the rules because HOAs can supersede the codes. Most of them work alongside it, but I've had people that couldn't do what they wanted to do because the code says, we don't care what the city says. You bought this and signed saying you obey our rules, and they just don't get on a lot of things.
Yeah. HOAs are the one thing that can trump the city.
Yep.
Yeah.
Except for life safety, but other than that, they can do it definitely.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's again, you know, the HOA police to come by your home and start giving you grief based on what you want to do.
Oh, they do that too.
Oh, yeah, they'll do it.
Now, also, the code changed that in most jurisdictions, if you put if it has sleeping and kitchen purposes, it's an ADU. It's no longer a casita. You just call them casitas, and I get red lines all over. This is not a casita, it's an ADU. So I got around one where it was basically a studio. I had a bathroom. We didn't put anything cooking in, so we were able to call it a casita. We avoided having to submit it. I got that one over the counter, and we didn't have to follow the new handicapped adaptable rules. And they're gonna put a sink in. You can have a little refrigerator, but no cooking. Later on, they have to put in hot plates or whatever. So that's another thing on a lot of these. I tell people, most people, you can have a convection oven on the countertop and stuff. I rarely use my oven in my house. I don't cook big meals like that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, when they scale down, they're calling DoorDash or they're getting some of those other places where they have those pre-cooked meals, which is really great for them because all I got to do is warm them up. And that's it. And then it's not like the old days. I remember when I was a kid, you know, can I show my age here? You know, my mom used to pull out, I think once a week, she used to pull out those Swanson TV dinners in the aluminum. You remember those? Oh my God. Yes. And especially the ones with the string beans, which I just got rid of those, the string beans. Dad didn't like string beans. But anyway, these are things, and I want all our listeners, these are things that you need to consider about. And I think the best way to obviously do that is to talk with Gail and also with Kevin, depending on your particular situation, and see exactly what you want to do and sit down and figure it all out first. And if you need their assistance, they'll be more than happy to have consultation with you and help you with, you know, you want to, you do you, what you want and what model you might want for a tiny home, whether it be a custom built or an existing model. And then Kevin also, with his expertise and dealing with the municipalities and stuff like that, these are two great people that have a wealth of knowledge to be able to help you make a decision on what you'd like to do with the tiny home that you have. And then again, like we said, you know, you have your initial, you know, wants and desires now, but you need to take a look at the long-term aspect of what you're doing here, because, you know, they're not, you know, inexpensive, and you are going to put some money down on it, but you want to make sure that you use your money wisely, and they could help you through that process, which I think is very, very, very important. And it's, and please, and I'm sure you guys will agree with me, please, 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 if you see something that you like on the internet, don't buy it.
Oh, my God. Please, please, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay away from that Temu stuff that they're
marketing. Oh, my God. That Temu stuff is like, I think that stuff is like worse than China.
Well, can I tell you, though, that there are so many fake tiny home.
Oh, yeah.
I constantly see homes. Pictures from our factory of homes we've built and delivered to other people that are sold for $25,000 on these sites. And, you know, it's crazy because I go on and I say, hey, I really love this house. How can I buy it? Can I come and see it? Blah, blah, blah. And one group even had a picture on the inside. It had our logo on the inside on the TV.
Really?
And they were selling our home. I was like, you got to be kidding.
Oh, so you're getting extra exposure.
We're getting extra exposure, but it's really damaging.
But not the way that you wanted it.
Yeah. We had one couple come in here, and they had sent $15,000 to a company that they found on Facebook that said they were building their home, and they were a total scam. Oh. We went so far as for this particular couple, this was their last home. They had sold their home. This is all they had left. They were living on friend's couch because the home never got delivered.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We worked with them and just took that out of our profit margin and just considered the $15,000
the people,
somebody else.
Those are the ones you really feel sorry for. I've got two clients right now. Contractor took money. And now it's ghosted them. And I'm trying to help them get through, but they need that money back. And so they're working with the ROC and stuff, but it happens a lot just on regular little stuff too. So, but I think we got some real good possibilities. When you know what you're doing, you don't have to worry if you're going to get clients. The good clients will come in, and the ones that are really cheap, they'll go out and try to do it themselves or whatever, get burnt and sad. But not everybody understands. It's not free. Just because they're tiny doesn't mean, you know, that they're free. So,
or that they're cheap.
They're cheap, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. There's a little guide on our website, you know, like questions to ask. If you're thinking about getting a tiny home, it's a free guide on our website that helps you, questions you should ask, things you should think about.
And that's...
It can be helpful. We're updating that right now because some things, you know, as everything changes, we're updating that guide. But it's got a lot of good information.
That's great.
That's good to know.
But, Gail, tell our listeners again how they can contact you.
They can contact us at unitedtinyhomes.com.
And phone number?
Phone number is, I never remember this off the top of my head. 928-362-0172.
Okay, great. And then, Kevin, how can our listeners contact you?
Oh, they can get through your website. I think we're still on there since working together. Cornerstone Design Associates. Our website is being updated, so they may not be out yet. But my email, rto52@msn.com. They can just get in touch with you and do that. But we highly advise people, the consultations are free. I'd rather help somebody for free, stay out of trouble, than get a job and not be able, you know, to satisfy the client. So let us know if you've got any questions at all, because we do a lot of free work, but it really helps people out, and that always pays off in the long run.
Yeah, that's really great. And for all our listeners, make sure that, you know, Earth Day will be here in a few days. So make sure you take some time out during the day to do something for enhancing your sustainable lifestyle. And, you know, that's not like going to Starbucks and getting rid of your straw. No, I'm talking about something real. And make sure that you take an interest, because we all have to live on this planet. I think it's very important. I just caution people, because there are people out there that take this green, you know, the green movement that we talk about all year long to the extreme. And I think that's when it becomes dangerous. So you need to use good common sense when you're talking about going green and living a sustainable lifestyle. So make sure that you do that, and that'll be coming up here in a few days. But thanks to all our listeners for listening to Boxcar Universe every week. You know, we are your source for cutting-edge information on container luxury design homes and container pools. So let us help build your dream home vision. And my two guests today are definitely people that can help you do that. If you have any questions at all and would like to contact me, you could always contact me at steve@boxcaruniverse.com. And Boxcar Living can be heard weekly on any podcast player. And always remember, let us containerize your lifestyle. Have a great weekend.
You're a great American. I love you.